Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. As strong supporters of the American Kennel Club, we talk about everything from conformation to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between. Your passion is our purpose. Tremendous thanks to our sponsor, Royal Canin. Every day, more top breeders are choosing Royal Canin. Join the winning team. Okay, crew, before we get into today's show, I am super excited to tell you about something new here at Pure Dog Talk. We know breeders are the lifeblood of our sport. We celebrate and honor our master breeders. So we're bringing you Breeders' Voice. Breeders' Voice sits down with top breeders, sharing their secrets, how they got where they are, the joys, and maybe even the heartbreaks. If you haven't had a chance, click the Don't Miss an Episode button so you'll get these in-depth articles delivered free along with your podcast. Sign up on our Facebook page or at puredogtalk.com. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and we have a cool topic for you today. I'm speaking to Carrie Taylor, and she is going to share with us a lot of very important information about medical marijuana and CBD oil and how they're different and what they are and how they can benefit our dogs. So this is like incredibly cool stuff. So welcome. I really appreciate you joining us, Carrie.
Well, thank you, Laura. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and your listeners. This is exciting stuff for me.
I think it's exciting stuff for the world, to be honest with you. So give us the 411. How did you get to be involved in selling medical marijuana? It's just such a great opportunity that's going on right now.
Absolutely it is. Well, as with most people who arrive on the doorstep of marijuana, it's generally out of a necessity. And that being most other roads being exhausted at that time, then you open up to alternatives. And that's where I found myself. Must have been about 7 years ago now that I was fairly sick, and I was going to doctors and naturopaths and herbalists and acupuncturists and kind of exploring all of these different modalities of healing to find remedy for myself. I was having endocrine problems. So I went down the road, I found herbs, and I started working a lot with herbs, and then I started working a lot with raw food as medicine. And I was getting really great results, and I started working with patients. And I lived in Washington State at that time, and medical cannabis was legal. And I had a few patients that came to me that were using medical cannabis. And I noticed that those patients were improving in health much more quickly than ones who were not using medical cannabis. So I kind of looked at that and thought, well, maybe it's time for myself to learn a little bit more about this. There's obviously something to it.
So you're seeing patients. What is your personal background?
So I'm a detoxification specialist. I work with herbal medicines, and I'm a cannabis consultant. I've worked with over 4,000 patients, just helping them find appropriate dosage and administration and things that would help them find wellness again.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, so I didn't set out to be that initially, and it was through helping myself that I came to be that. And in working with those patients, I was able to develop about 150 products that we used in different ways for these patients. And through that process, many people started asking me questions about their animals. And with medical marijuana being legal now in 29 states and 2 territories of the United States, the majority of us in the United States are open to medical marijuana and its uses. So we see now in states where medical marijuana is legal, as well as recreational cannabis being legal, that there are a myriad of pet products available. It's a lack of understanding of what they are and how to use them in most cases.
Well, and reality, I know here in Oregon, recreational marijuana is legal. And I know my veterinarian tells me about seeing X number of cases a week of Fluffy got into somebody's dope, right? And it's made them very sick. So I think there's some questions that go with how do we use this safely? What is the different stuff that we have to work with?
Absolutely. So that's a wonderful point to bring up, and I think that's where a lot of fear exists. With cannabis being legal recreationally, that does increase the opportunity for our animals to essentially get into our stash. So the stash, let's just say, can be psychoactive or non-psychoactive depending on the state it is in, meaning cannabis that is in flower form, which is what most people often smoke, is one that is not particularly psychoactive when consumed, unless in large quantities. When you heat cannabis is when the THC becomes psychoactive. So a dog consuming a flower, it's not heated. It doesn't have the same impact on the body. It's slightly different. However, concentrates, many of those are what we call decarboxylated, which means they've been heated in the process, which means they're highly psychoactive.
That would be a bad thing for your dog to get into.
Right. So if your dog gets into a concentrate, it takes very little, like the amount of just a pencil head would make most dogs extremely high. So the good news, however, is that they have been unable to establish a lethal dose with cannabis because it's just enormous, the amount you would have to consume to cause death. There's something called a legal dose 50, which is where half of the participants in a lab test would die at that level of administration. And they haven't been able to figure out what that is with cannabis simply because they cannot feed animals enough of it to cause death. And with humans, they figured that you would have to consume about 1,500 pounds of cannabis in 15 minutes to create a lethal dose within the system.
Okay. So in that piece, that is definitely good information. So what are the legalities in terms of veterinary use or using cannabis products derivatives in the veterinary industry?
Well, unfortunately, because it is a Schedule I drug, vets are not given the authority to recommend cannabis as a treatment. However, they do have the ability to discuss legal options, such as CBD oil, with patients. And they also have the ability to discuss possible toxicity and other implications associated with administration. So for most vets, they're staying out of the territory as a safety measure. However, with the legalization, they're being forced to learn about the toxicity factors, which I really don't see cannabis as having toxicity factors with them, but more psychoactive factors. And that's when somebody would really bring their dog into an ER, is they've ingested too much THC and they might be walking funny or sitting funny or essentially having a psychoactive experience. And there's not a lot that can be done in that moment aside from waiting for it to pass.
So there's THC and there's CBD oil, and these two are different items.
Yes. So there is a distinction between what is CBD oil and what is marijuana. What the government has defined is that sourcing is what matters the most. So CBD oil, which is a non-psychoactive cannabinoid found in cannabis and hemp plants, is, depending on its source, legal. So if you source your CBD from industrial hemp plants and it's less than 0.3% THC, which is the other determining factor, then that can be a legal CBD oil that can be shipped across state lines and is protected by another bill, the Omnibus Bill of 2016, which says we're not going to spend money chasing after CBD oil. So basically, CBD is legal by looking at a number of different stipulations. Anything over 0.3% THC is considered medical marijuana, and that is in a different boat. So we have 29 states that medical marijuana is legal within that state. Each of those states have different determinations of what is legal and what is not, and when it can be prescribed and when it's not prescribed. And, of course, the federal government says that, according to Schedule I, you cannot prescribe medical marijuana. So we have in the states of medical marijuana, doctors who are writing recommendations instead of prescriptions.
Oh my gosh. So between medical marijuana and CBD oil, these are two separate products, one legal in all states, basically, and one legal in half the states, or a little over half the states. So draw a distinction for us. Medical marijuana can treat X, Y, and Z. CBD oil can treat A, B, and C. And let's focus that in on our dogs.
Okay. Well, when we look at a chart that has the benefits of various cannabinoids, so CBD being one cannabinoid, THC being another cannabinoid, CBD benefits more of the systems of our bodies in general than THC, meaning there's more medical uses. It modulates the body in greater ways. So CBD has a particular influence on many different areas. So largely what people use CBD for is pain. It's an analgesic. The second biggest use, I would say, is anxiety. It reduces anxiety and social stress. It has the ability to affect our memory as well. So people who have experienced PTSD, and this can be carried over to animals as well, who have experienced, say, a trauma that has caused a change in behavior, learn through CBD the extinction of that fear. So it affects our neural pathways in a way that we're able to realize that we are not in the trauma in the moment any longer, and that we can let that charge go, the charge that was created by that event, so that we don't have to continue to replay past traumas and things in our life. So it works really great with dogs that have fear behaviors, as well as generalized anxiety, meaning if your dog is afraid of riding in the car, as an example, giving them some CBD beforehand can help make that experience more relaxing to them.
Okay. So the CBD oil, we'll use your car ride example. You've got one that gets car sick or gets stressed out in the car. You're going to give that to the dog by the mouth. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, there's a number of forms of administration. By mouth is one way. The skin also has receptors with every hair follicle. So topical administration of CBD also works very well with pets.
Wow, very good. So CBD oil, you're treating primarily pain and those fear, stress, anxiety type things.
So there's a whole bunch more things that it can help us with. Let's take the car ride as an example again. It also helps with nausea, which is why it's great with cancer. One of the reasons, I should say. And then CBD is also a really excellent anti-inflammatory. So dogs with hip problems, with any stiffness problems also benefit from the administration of CBD. And those are just the beginning.
Right, and that's just the beginning. Well, okay, so say I have a stiff, old, arthritic dog. Am I going to give it by mouth or going to use it topically?
You can administer in either fashion, and both are very effective. So if it's a chronic condition, generally what I advise people is regular administration is going to be the most effective for the animal. And then in cases of, say, a flare-up where perhaps it's worse than usual, so if they were doing regular administration by mouth, then they could add in some topical in times where it seems the animal is struggling a little bit more.
Right, because they can't tell us, right, like what hurts.
Yeah. I have a dog who has medial patellar luxation in both of her back legs, and she takes CBD oil every day. And I can see when we go on hikes and things, she's starting to walk a little bit more lazily, mm-hmm. or is slowing down a little bit. And I carry treats around with me and I give them to her right in the moment. And I can see the change in her disposition. Wow. I can also see the change in her gait, the way she walks and moves. It creates a more relaxed movement of the body.
Interesting. So we're still working with the CBD oil. We've set aside the medical marijuana piece, if you will, and we're working on this with the CBD oil. So if you go to a pharmacy, I know you have a compounding pharmacy, is that correct?
I do compound medicine, and that is a medical marijuana that I do compound.
So the oil, it's just what it is, right? Like there's no 50% or 5%, or it's just, this is what it is, end of conversation.
Well, yes, every oil is going to be different, and that goes for both medical marijuana and CBD oils. And there's a lot of confusion around strength of oils.
And we're trying to clear up confusion here.
I've visited some of the top pet CBD sites, and in many cases, you can't determine how many grams of CBD are in a treat or in the oil itself. In many cases, they list the number of milligrams of hemp oil versus the number of milligrams of cannabinoids. Now, those are two different things. CBD is the actual compound that will trigger the receptors. Hemp oil is the synergistic blend of all constituents derived from the concentration of a hemp plant. So when you're using, say, full hemp oil, you're getting a lot more of the original constituents that were with that plant, which is oftentimes very supportive in the absorption of the cannabinoids or the CBD itself. In the event of something that, say, measures in the number of CBD molecules present, the concentration of them, meaning something that says there's 5 milligrams of CBD in this treat, most often those are derived from what we call isolates or single molecules. So they've taken the hemp plant and distilled it down to just the cannabinoids. So you're looking at, say, a 99.9% pure CBD extract, which is a crystalline powder. And that way they're able to give you the actual CBD count within the oil. Not that they can't give you the actual CBD count, but most don't advertise it in the form of hemp oil. So it's hard to know how to give your animal the correct dose when you don't know exactly what is in an oil. So I don't want to say it's hiding the information, but it's not making it publicly available and easy to understand. I don't like that part of this industry.
Mm-hmm.
All of our products are labeled by the number of cannabinoids that are present. Is what people are looking for. If you're wanting to buy CBD oil, don't you want to know how much CBD is in it?
Right. That definitely would seem like a goal. So,
right.
Give us an idea. So I have a wire hair pointer, Logan, who is a rescue dog and has severe separation anxiety. I mean severe. He weighs 65, 70 pounds. What kind of dosing am I going to be looking for in order to start treating this?
So the most common dosage or starting point that people are using is 1 milligram per 10 pounds. So 6 to 7 milligrams throughout the day would be what I would consider a beneficial dose for Logan.
Okay.
And that's just the starting point because every animal is slightly different, just as every human is slightly different. We have different sensitivities. Some respond much more quickly than others do, depending on how fast their system moves. So that's generally the starting point for us. And it's best to do that administration 3 to 5 times throughout the day, meaning if you're giving 1 to 2 milligrams at once, totaling 6 to 7 milligrams throughout the day.
Got it. And are you doing that in like an eyedropper or a treat? How would you recommend someone dose that animal multiple times daily?
Well, that depends on the animal too, because animals, again, have their different sensitivities. Some may not be as happy with you trying to put a dropper in their mouth. So normally dropper type medicines are put on a treat.
Right.
And you can also buy CBD treats. Some of them have measured amounts of CBD, and then some of them will tell you there's 2 milligrams of hemp oil, which could mean there's only actually trace amounts of CBD in something like that.
Oh, interesting. So this is an industry in its infancy for sure.
Absolutely.
So basically what you're talking about is you just don't have standardized packaging. So as
right.
a savvy consumer, we should be looking for information that describes the CBD percentage, not the hemp oil percentage.
Yes. And in most cases, if you're shopping medical marijuana, as an example, or you're going into a dispensary to buy a pet product, those are generally tested. Most states have requirements that anything that's sold medically is tested. or at least they're moving towards that with recreational. If you walked into a dispensary in Oregon, in order for them to sell anything, it has to have a label telling you exactly what is in that bottle.
Oh, good.
So we are coming into the light. However, CBD oil being considered outside of medical marijuana, it doesn't follow those same laws. So actually, CBD oil itself doesn't need to be labeled in that way. That's why we see that there's some that are selling it by milligrams of hemp oil versus the number of cannabinoids present.
Right. So when you're treating your dog, say, for separation anxiety, and you're treating them through the course of the day, are you then treating other systems, right?
You absolutely are. So let's just talk for a second about what a cannabinoid is. And a cannabinoid is a neuromodulatory lipid. So it's a fat that triggers receptors within our body that creates some sort of outcome. And that outcome can involve multiple systems. So it can involve, say, the lymphatic system, moving the lymphatic system. It can involve the brain, which in the case of separation anxiety, it can actually step down that panic that the animal experiences. So basically what happens is when we consume a cannabinoid, whether it be topically or internally, it will trigger the endocannabinoid system, and the endocannabinoid system will then affect other systems within the body. Another system that it has a particular affinity for is the immune system. So it causes various immune reactions. In the case of a dog with an autoimmune condition, it can tell the immune system to relax and effectively changing the way the dog is experiencing that autoimmune reaction and reducing it.
Okay. So I'm trying to identify specific ways that our listeners can gather more information. And now you said the CBD oil is legal anywhere because there's limited THC content. Is that correct?
Yes. It must be sourced from industrial hemp to be legal to be shipped anywhere. And there are a lot of products out there like that. It's just a matter of determining what you're actually getting. And I recommend that whenever you're shopping or looking for a product for your animal, that you view the test results for that product. Good, reputable companies will publish their test results. And that would be the number one important thing. See exactly what you're getting.
Good. So you're getting X percent of CBD and the plant was grown this way and all of that kind of stuff.
Yes, absolutely. Another thing that is a major factor is pesticide use and other contaminants. I don't think of pesticides being synonymous with medical marijuana, but the reality is it's being used. So that's another thing that I would advise people to look into when they're sourcing either CBD or medical marijuana, that they're making sure there are no other contaminants in their oils.
Okay. No, that's really good recommendation. So while I'm talking to you, I'm making up my scenario in my head. So my friend Marla in Nebraska has a arthritic old dog. She could go online and find a product and have it shipped to Nebraska, and there would be no legal complications there if it's a CBD product.
Correct. So long as the company that is making it has sourced it from industrial hemp, there would be no complications.
Very good. And you are going to provide us with some links, yes, that we're going to put on our website so people can start looking up this information?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And there's a ton of information, you know, that's coming out about both CBD and medical marijuana. And there's a lot of information to wade through. But we do have some particularly good sources that are available online that talk about human use as well as veterinary use. And I can provide links for those.
Oh, that would be fabulous. Well, yeah, thank exactly. you very, very much, Carrie. I really appreciate you taking the time to share some of this information, dispel some of these myths. And we will make sure, listeners, that you have all kinds of options to look up more information and maybe find the answer to that puzzle you've been looking for. Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you, Laura. I really appreciate what you're doing, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and your listeners, and I'd be happy to answer any further questions and reconnect at any time.
Excellent. Thanks so much. All right, crew, we are back with Allison Foley from the Leading Edge Dog Show Academy. And Allison is going to talk to us today about making a little eye contact. Yeah, eye candy. So welcome, Allison.
Hi, Laura. How are you today?
Great. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. So I listened to your podcast, and when you talked about making some eye contact and stuff in the ring and making sure that the judge knows that you're there, basically. And, you know, I have a great course on Leading Edge Dog Show Academy, The Best Dog in 2 Minutes. And I love that course. But sometimes I think that people, especially new people, rush through their time in the ring. So we want to make sure that we are formulating some kind of relationship, for lack of a better word, with the judge in that 2 minutes you're in the ring, right? You want to make sure that they know you're there. I can't tell you how many times I've been in the ring and I go, the judge says, take your dog down and back, and you go down and, you know, I'd get back to the judge and they hadn't been watching my dog, and not because they were rude or not doing their job, but, you know, they were interrupted. Maybe a small child ran in the ring, or, you know, there's a dog fight outside the ring, or a less experienced ring steward kind of interrupted them at the wrong point. So we want to make sure that those things don't happen. And the flip side of this is I also don't like people who just like stare at a judge the entire time and they don't even notice that their dog is in the ring, right? So kind of what I tell people is when you're in the ring, every time you get to a corner, look up at the judge, right? Because that way, you know, you're watching your dog on the mat, you get to a corner, and the corner just reminds you of how much of the time you should spend making sure the judge is watching your dog. And if the judge isn't watching your dog at that point, try to figure out why. Is it a big class and they're looking at the dogs at a different point in the ring, and that way you can be prepared for where that point is? Are they distracted by something, you know, and maybe on your individual go around, you have to maybe stop or slow down while that distraction ends? So that's what I like to do.
I think you make a really great point, Allison. And I think it's also part of it is when we first are getting started in showing dogs, we're nervous, right? So we think we're doing everything at normal speed and we're really doing it at hyper speed. So I tell people, do everything at half speed, even if it feels awkward to you, but that helps you collect yourself, helps your dog collect itself, right? So that you're not feeling rushed and you're really paying attention, as you say, to getting that contact, that connection with the judge.
Yeah, I totally agree. I liken it to public speaking, right?
Yes.
Anytime, you know, even when we were in high school or anytime we were coached on how to public speak, everybody always told you to speak slowly. Because you're not really speaking as slowly as you think you are, right? You are nervous, you are in hyper mode, so everything comes out twice as fast as you think. And I totally agree, that's what happens. You know, especially on the down and back, I want it to be a down and a back. I don't want it to be a down and back, right? I want you to go down, I want you to turn around, I want you to straighten up, look the judge straight in the face, and then continue back to the judge, right? I want them to notice that you are about to bring this dog back to the judge, right? And again, that's at a corner, typically. So, you know, it's a good reminder. And just, yes, you want to build up that rapport. You want to make sure that if you are in there for 2 minutes, which we boil down to about 40 seconds of the judge actually focusing on you, you need to make sure that you are noticed in those 40 seconds. So, yes, I tell people on the down and back, even with a large dog, walk the first 3 steps, right? Because most likely you're not going to be going at a slow pace. It's going to be a quick walk. But if you think to yourself, I'm going to walk the first 3 steps, it just slows you down enough to make it something that the judge can see what you're doing.
Absolutely. Here's another one. And tell me, I know that you do this. I've watched you do it. When the judge asks you, okay, take your dog down and back, you look at the judge and connect with them and say, yes, ma'am, or thank you, sir, right? That 2 seconds worth of actual human interaction will help, my opinion, focus the judge's attention on what you're doing. And it's polite.
Yeah, and I do that. And I do like stress to my students that I really want you to do that. I want you to be yes, sir, no, sir. Whenever the judge asks you to do something, I think there should be a response, right? So especially now that usually the exhibitors are showing the bite to the judge instead of the judge looking at yourself. If the judge says, can I see the bite, please? I always say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Sometimes I'm not the smoothest at showing the side dentition to the judge. You know, it's after 30 years, it's still something I need to work on. So like sometimes my head's getting in their way as they're trying to look around and I'm always like, oh, sorry about that. Right. And you have to remember the judge is human and we're human too. Right. And just the more that we can build a rapport so that A, it's going to make us feel more comfortable, which makes our dog feel more comfortable. But then if the judge is thinking, yes, like that person, you know, interacted, they knew what they were doing. Like it, you know, I don't think it hurts. That's for sure.
Definitely doesn't hurt. All right. Well, thank you very much, Allison. Listeners, don't forget Pure Dog Talk 25. When you check out of your Leading Edge Dog Show Academy course with Allison, that will give you a 25% discount on your class. And Allison and I are happy to buy you a latte.
We certainly are. And we love our Pure Dog Talk listeners. So, you know, if you see us at a show, come over and say hi. I'd love to meet you.
Absolutely. And don't forget to say you heard it on Pure Dog Talk.
Sounds great. Thank you, Laura.
Thanks, Allison.
The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk, brought to you by the Aramedia Group, publisher of ShowSite Magazine, your home for purebred dogs.